Join us for our Candlelight Christmas Eve service. We will celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus with Christmas music, special elements, and an inspiring message based on the beloved Christmas song, Silent Night. Written in 1818 by Joseph Moore and composed by Franz Xaver Gruber, this cherished carol was first performed on Christmas Eve in a small Austrian village. Its gentle melody and heartfelt lyrics capture the quiet, holy wonder of that first Christmas night, when the world received the gift of a Savior. As we gather by candlelight, we'll reflect on the peace, hope, and love this song inspires, reminding us of the true meaning of Christmas.
And I, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Well, good evening, everyone, or good afternoon, really. Welcome to Christmas Eve here at Island Christian Church. That's hard for me to say. Can we start that over? Good afternoon. Welcome to Island Christian Church, where it's Christmas Eve. I'm so glad that you're here to worship God together. Thank you for making this part of your holiday today before you go on to your plans and to see everyone tonight. And this is just a great time we have to be drawn into the presence of God and be reminded of who He is and why we celebrate this season that we do. And you know, as you look around the Christmas kind of season, the dominant image of Christmas is not the tree. It's not the angels, but I think the number one image, if you'll look for it and be aware of it, is actually all of the Christmas nativity scenes. You'll see them all over the place. In my house, we have two. There's the indoor nativity and the outdoor nativity. Of course, the indoor is my wife's job. The outdoor is my job. And then she fixed the outdoor one after that, too. And they're all so well known, and you see them. You know, sometimes you go to an event, and there will be live nativities, and you'll have the animals, and you'll see a Joseph and Mary representation. It's such a big part of the season. Some of them are so iconic. This is probably the most famous nativity painting of all time by a man named Giotto di Bondone. It's from Italy. It's in the 1300s, kind of one depiction of maybe what the nativity had looked like. And some of you may have different favorite nativity scenes. You know, for you, maybe you love the precious moments. Maybe that's your favorite. So cute. Maybe you love the willow tree nativity. This is the one we have at my house. This is not our setup because there's a mirror behind ours. And every time I tried to take a picture for you, I just saw myself. So I couldn't bring that one. Or if you have a different kind of house, your favorite nativity might be this one that you put together yourself. It's very fun. I went to St. Pat's in the city a couple weeks ago kind of walking around. And they have a gorgeous nativity there. Really life size, and I was just kind of taking it all, and this is my own picture that I took, and then I looked a little closer. If you kind of zoom in on the right side, I never realized there's actually a dog and a cat in the nativity at St. Patrick's Cathedral. At first I was like, well, that's not supposed to be there, and then I thought, well, actually, it probably was there. I mean, if that was where the animals came in to eat and sleep, then why not the dogs and the cats? So I thought about that too. I'm like, did Jesus have a dog? Like, did he have to feed the dog? It was like this whole rabbit trail that I was thinking about for a while. But we have these nativity scenes in so many different places. In fact, it's really tradition that in a lot of nativities, you don't place the baby Jesus until tonight because the baby Jesus wasn't there until Christmas Eve. So if you see one and the baby Jesus is not there, don't worry, it wasn't stolen. They're waiting. They're really observing this tradition. And when I think of the picture of a nativity scene, the carol that really captures that serene moment is Silent Night. It brings into kind of a picture of words this serene scene that we have where Jesus was born. He was born in an unexpected place in a very humble way. The shepherds came right away to visit him. The wise men came a short time later to visit him, and we're centered around this arrival moment, this time of great peace and tranquility. And so we just want to take a few minutes tonight and use the lyrics of Silent Night kind of as a window into the scriptures to see how Silent Night points us towards these great verses about Christ, the coming King. Now, Silent Night was written by a man named Joseph Moore. It was in 1816 in Austria. And this was a difficult time in their history. They had just finished the Napoleonic Wars. Austria had been one of the chief opponents of Napoleon. They had really paid a price. So as a country, they were yearning for peace. They were yearning for restoration. And Joseph Moore wrote this poem. And it was about 2 years later in 1818, the organist from his church, a man named Franz Gruber, wrote the music. Not Hans Gruber. That's something else. Okay? This is Franz Gruber, the organist for the church. But they had a little bit of a problem, and this is in Gruber's memoirs. The year that they wrote Silent Night, the church organ was actually broken. They said it had been damaged, most likely in a flood, so they weren't able to use it. So they said, we're going to have to write it differently. So they just wrote it very simple on a guitar. And the two of them, the priest and the organist, sang it as a duet at the Christmas Eve service. And that's when this song really took root. And people were blessed by its profound themes and by the simplicity of its tune and its music and how it pointed towards Jesus. It had lyrics like, all is calm, all is bright. See, this is reminding us of that incredible moment that happened. See, there were shepherds who the scriptures say were living out in the fields nearby, and they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. See, this line, all is calm, all is bright, is actually a line of contrast. See, it was calm, but then also, it was bright. And it shocked them in a way that they didn't expect. Because now, suddenly, there was this figure, this angel, that first thing, you know, said, don't be scared, and then told them the good news about Jesus being born. Then even more angels joined into this angelic choir singing about how Jesus had been born. The Savior had been born in Bethlehem. This was going to bring peace. It was going to bring goodwill to everyone on whom God's favor would rest. And it's this contrast. And you need both the calm and the bright to experience the peace of Jesus. See, the peace of Jesus comes into a situation that, yes, has a calmness, has a stillness, has a serenity to it. But that's not enough. It can't just be calm. Peace without the bride is actually just pause. And you do yearn for that at times, right? You kind of yearn for a break. You kind of yearn for things to slow down a little bit. I would say most of you are done working pretty much for the year. Now, you might have more work days left this year, but the boss knows you're not going to work very much. You're sort of done for the year. And we yearn that, but that's just kind of a break. See, there's a difference between retreat, between being sequestered, and being really experiencing the peace of Jesus. So you need the brightness. You need the light of Christ. Because it's when you have the light of Christ into the stillness of his presence that you experience the real peace of Jesus. All is calm, all is bright reminds us of that peace. Jesus talked about this. He said in John, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. All is calm, all is bright points us towards the peace of our Savior. There's another line that says, round yon virgin, mother and child. This is when you can start to hear that this song is a little over 200 years old. We don't really use words like this anymore, round yon virgin. Although it somehow sounds 200 years old and also kind of Midwest-y to me. Like, I feel like if I was in the Midwest, they would say that'd be like, you know, go round yonder to the Fleet Farm, you know, and like pick up for yourself some pop. Like, this is how they still talk out there. Because what does round yon mean? It actually just means nearby. It means close to here. That's a profound statement. Saying close to here, right nearby, is Jesus and his mother. Not distant, not far, not wondering if God would ever pay any attention to his people, not lost in the cosmos, but actually here, close, nearby. And this fulfilled what the prophets had said was going to happen. The prophet Isaiah said it this way. He said in chapter 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is a name that means God with us. It means God come yonder. It means God is here. See, reminded that Jesus has come to experience life with his people and we have his presence. That to experience the presence of God through Jesus is to realize the fullness of the relationship that he has with his people. Jesus said it this way. He said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That Jesus is the presence of God brought to earth, God with us. When you have those seasons when you might feel disconnected, when you might feel alone, when you might feel like you're far, that you're distant, be reminded that God is with us. He's not far. That we experience his presence. Round yon virgin, mother and child reminds us of the close presence of Jesus. And later again, Moore wrote, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. See, this is what makes the nativity so unbelievable. Jesus was not the only baby born that day. The fact that he was born did not make him extraordinary. There were other babies who were born. You know, no babies were born in the hospital then. Sometimes they would be in the house. Sometimes they would be in the yard. Sometimes they would be in the stable. Wherever you could figure it out. What made him extraordinary is that though he was a helpless baby, he was also God in all of his power and in all of his creative might. It says in Colossians, speaking about this baby, Jesus, that in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. See, the lordship of Christ does not wait for us to acknowledge that it is true. The lordship of Christ is irrefutable. It is undeniable. It is the power of God brought to this earth. And we see this power in Jesus. And that's what makes his birth and his death so remarkable. In the same way that other babies were born, in the time that Jesus lived, other people were crucified. Jesus was not the only one. Crucifixions actually happened quite a lot. It was the way that Rome kind of scared all the people. They would do these public crucifixions. Everyone would be nervous, and they would kind of comply. But Jesus, who had all power, chose to humble himself. Jesus said it this way. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to pick it up again. This command I received from my Father. The power of Jesus made clear that he was Lord even at his birth. And this beautiful, holy, and sacred paradox about Christmas, to realize that Jesus, who had all power and all authority, he humbled himself. He became a frail human who would have to eat, who would have to sleep, who would have to walk, who would have to go to school, who would have to submit to his parents, and who would have to die. None of that changing the lordship of him. We have the power of Christ revealed through Jesus, Lord, even at his own birth. See, Silent Night is pointing us back to understand so much of who Jesus is as we see his peace, his presence, and his power all revealed through the scriptures. Now, I told you about the story behind this song, this biography, but that's actually not the most famous story related to Silent Night. The most famous story actually happened almost 100 years later. It happened at Christmas Eve, 1914. World War I had just started in the summer, and the sides were becoming entrenched, especially on the Western Front. And there was a point where the German soldiers and the British soldiers were entrenched in a location close enough that they were within earshot of each other. And what happened the very first Christmas Eve of World War I was stirring. Check this out.
Jenkins, Oakley.
Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön, das schön.
See, this video is unbelievable. It's incredible, really. True story. And it's beautiful up until the point that it's not. Because for them, this was just a moment. It was a moment that, yes, they experienced some pause. They experienced a break from the atrocities of war. But nothing actually changed. They went right back to being at war the very next day. And this was in the first Christmas of World War I, and they never did this again. All the other Christmases of World War I, they still fought. And that's the danger that you and I fall into. That a nativity scene or silent night is this beautiful moment that we experience, and then we just leave it behind. We don't embrace the peace of our Savior. We don't understand the nearness of his presence. We don't live in the reality of his power. Instead, we leave all of that behind and we go back to just normal life. That even a moment like this, a service like this, is just a little break before we move on. That's not what Christmas is. Christmas is the miracle that changes your life. Christmas is the miracle that helps you fully understand who you are in him. That there is a God who desperately loves you, who crossed time and space to be here, near to you, and who wants to empower you to live this life in the fullness of who he is. And so tonight here, Christmas Eve of 2024, for some of you is the most important day of your life. Because you're ready to finally stop taking these little breaks from the difficulty of life. And you're ready to truly embrace who Jesus is in your life. See, the Bible says that getting right with God is not sort of like this thawing out process that you stay near to him long enough and eventually you'll be a follower of Jesus. It talks about how there's an intentional moment, a decision where you say, yes, I am ready to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. The scripture says it this way. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's an intentionality to say, yes, I am here to declare that Jesus is my Lord. I'm tired of taking short breaks from the difficulty of life. I want to completely leave that behind. I want to live in a new way that follows him forever. And for some of you, that moment is now. It is here. It is today. So I want you to take a moment, bow your head, close your eyes, and just reflect. Just think about where you are with our Lord and Savior. Have you understood the reality of the life that he's calling you into? Do you realize that you're not going to get there on your own, that you need a Savior to pull you out of the mess of this life and to bring you into newness of life with him? Do you see how even though you've tried harder so many times, you've never actually gotten there, and trying a little bit harder this next year is not going to be enough? But it requires a confession of Jesus Christ as Lord with our mouths, with the full convictions of our heart. And so, congregation, I want to invite you to pray with me this afternoon. And as we pray, you can open your eyes. God still hears your prayers when your eyes are open. And I want to invite this entire room to pray this same prayer with me. It's a prayer that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord. It's a prayer that makes everything right between us and him when it's received by the convictions of our heart. I would invite you, if you would, to say this prayer with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your commandments and fallen short of your standards. Right now, I turn from that sin and ask you to come into my life. Be my Lord, Savior, friend, and God. I put my faith in Jesus Christ, in him alone, to save me from my sins. Thank you for loving me and calling me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And church, for some of you, that was the most important moment of your life because you prayed that prayer with conviction for the very first time. And the scripture says that today you've been adopted into his family as his own daughters, as his sons. So I'd like to invite our pastors to come up and just stand here in the front because we have a ceremony, we have a tradition. All of you came in, you received a candle, many of them with the regular flame, a few of them with the artificial flame. I have one of those. And what we're going to do is we're going to light them, but not just yet. You guys should, but not them. And as we kind of dim the lights and prepare for the sacredness of this moment, I want to invite a special group to first come up and light your candle. See, there are people in this room who today, for the very first time, prayed that Jesus Christ would be their Lord and Savior. And I want to call you to an incredible act of courage. I want to invite you to walk up here first and light your candle. And after you light your candle, you can go back to your seat. Now, just a little bit of coaching here. Once your candle is lit, it always stays vertical, okay? In a couple minutes, we're going to light other people's candles. The unlit candles are the ones that go sideways, okay? If you have long hair, pay attention, okay? Okay, I'll be fine, but in all seriousness, there are people here that this was the most important day of your life. I want to invite you right now in courage to stand up, walk up here, and light your candle. You won't be embarrassed because every Christian in here is going to celebrate what you've done. They're going to be so excited to see you. Just come up and light your candle. Praise God. Come light your candle. Praise God. Praise God. Come and light your candle. Pastor Lee. There you go. Praise God. Praise God. We never mind when there's lines for this. Praise God. Light your candle. Now, there's another group that I'd like to invite up to light your candle. For you, you look back on 2024 and you would say, this is the year that I understood what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. This was the year that I put my faith in him. This is the year that I followed him into baptism. This is the year when it all came together. This is the year that I prayed to receive Christ. If this was your year, come up right now and light that candle. I know there's a bunch of you because I've been doing your baptisms. I've been doing your memberships. Come up and light that candle. Praise God. Come up and light that candle. Praise God. You know, I don't normally say this on Christmas Eve, but those of you who serve so hard all year, this is why. Right? Those of you, the regulars, the core who are here day in and day out, every time we open the doors, you're barging in. This is why we do what we do, to see and experience life change like this in people, to see dozens of people every year come forward and say, this was my year. This is why we do what we do. Now, church, there's already light scattered throughout the room. What we're going to do during this next song is we're going to light every single candle in this room. And if you have the battery one, you can turn it on right now if you like. The rest of the pastors are going to bring light to you. And if you have light in your neighborhood, go ahead and start to spread that light and just see the way that the light of Christ spreads across this room, just the way his people spread throughout this world to bring his light.
Till he appeared. a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Sing with us.
Let the light of Christ dwell in your heart richly, both now and always, not just for you, but to shine into all who surround. Thank you, God, for this beautiful and sacred moment we've had together. Let us reflect your light. Let us shine your light to your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please blow out your candle? And I want to let you know, if tonight was the night that you put your faith in Christ, I want you to stop by our connection hub. It's just out here in the lobby to the side. Pastor Colby will be there with the team. And we want to give you a gift. It's a new Bible. It's also a bookmark. It has a blank line where you say, today, and you get to write, Christmas Eve, 2024, I prayed to receive Christ. And you can keep that somewhere to always remind you the incredible moment that happened for you here today. So let's sing one closing chorus before we go.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Have a great rest of your Christmas, and we will see you on Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today on the Island Christian Church podcast. We hope the insights and reflections shared here have sparked a desire in you to explore your faith more deeply. Remember, the journey through the scriptures is a path to understanding, not just the words of God, but his heart and his vision for your life. We encourage you to not just listen, but to actively engage and reflect on what God is speaking into your life through his word. If today's message has inspired you, we invite you to dive deeper and join us in person. Our church family gathers at 400 Elwood Road, East Northport, and we would love to welcome you. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 and 11, offering a time of fellowship, worship, and deeper learning. There are dynamic children's ministries during every service, and there is a free cafe too. Also, don't forget, our sermon library is always available at islandchristian.com, a resource for you to revisit today's sermon or explore others. Thank you again for tuning in. We're excited to see you next time, and perhaps even in person this Sunday. Until then, may your days be blessed and your faith journey enriched. See you soon.